Hello again, friends. It's good to be with you. And remember the scripture in 1 Peter 3:12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We're going to be talking for the next quarter hour on this broadcast regarding a very wonderful subject, the subject of prayer. And I want to say for your consideration that we're trying to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where it is silent. Now, when we come to the subject of prayer, often the question is asked, well, who can pray? Well, physically, I suppose anyone could pray. Someone added, said, well, who should pray? Well, we're aware of the fact that those who can call upon God as their Heavenly Father, because the prayer must be addressed to Him, would indicate to us a clear-cut case of who God really expects to pray. Now, we do want to say that the Lord has never encouraged, He has never offered instruction through the apostles, that we are to tell the alien sinner that he is to pray to be saved. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are people who are very honest in this point, but I want to make it clear that honesty really is not enough. It cannot be a substitute for righteousness. So in this lesson, as we have done in other lessons, we are going right down the line on what the Bible teaches. We must have it in the Bible before we can advocate it as a point of worship or as that which is acceptable in His sight. Now, I know that prayer is not alone offered in public worship, but it is scriptural to be offered in public worship. In the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 5, you'll find a very good example of the so-called prayer meeting, where disciples had come together in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, apparently to pray following the death of James, the apostle who had been beheaded, and also it would seem that a similar fate were going to come to the apostle Peter, who was in prison at that time. Nevertheless, prayers were made at the house of Mary, mother of John Mark, by the church. So it is scriptural for public prayer, and certainly scriptural for private prayer. But again, I want to say that the Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open unto their prayers. We are aware of the fact that one must be able to call God his Heavenly Father. Now, there is a time when the Christian has been called upon to repent and pray. In the 8th chapter of Acts, we have the story of Simon, who had been a sorcerer but who obeyed the gospel and then after becoming a Christian committed sin. He was told, as you can read in that 8th chapter of Acts, by the Apostle Peter, to repent and pray if perhaps the thought of his heart might be forgiven him. We are aware of the fact that the Apostle Paul, that we knew first as Saul of Tarsus, when he was stricken down, did pray, but he was not commanded to pray by those who took him into the house on the street called Straight in Damascus. And when Ananias came in and talked to him, being sent there by the Lord, he did not tell this man as an alien sinner, as one who opposed Christ, as one who opposed the church, to pray that his sins might be forgiven. Well, what one does one do then to have their sins forgiven? Acts 3:19 simply says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Peter earlier in the 2nd chapter of Acts in verse 38 told them when they asked men and brethren, what must we do? People who had actually been responsible at least in part for murdering Jesus, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we are saying that scripturally and spiritually, prayer belongs in the life of the Christian. The eyes of the Lord are truly over the righteous. Now in John 9:31, which some people might not look upon as being valid, because it was not an apostle stating it, but was a man who had been healed, he said, we know that the Lord heareth not the prayer of a sinner. Well, the point is that we're leaving this lesson with you on that point. I'm simply going to say that we have scripture in the Bible to indicate that those who truly can call God their Father because they have been born again, because they have come into His family, are truly eligible individuals according to the Bible to offer prayer. Now, how far is this prayer going? Well, it's a part of that Acts 2:42 that we talked about last week, when the early disciples, after being baptized into Christ, simply continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine with fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. How often is prayer to be offered? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul instructed the Christians there at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. And the best way that can be understood is to realize that prayer was a regular part of their life. One brother said, and I think it's worthy of consideration, that we should always be in a position where we can call upon our Heavenly Father. And he added, if you find yourself in a circumstance or a condition or a place where prayer would be out of place, then you can mark it down that you're undoubtedly in the wrong place. And I believe there are places where prayer would seem to be out of place. It'd just be like the proverbial cowbell in the concert, so to speak. Don't find yourself in that type of circumstance as a Christian when you can't pray to God. Well, in the fourth chapter of Philippians, we have some very thought-provoking words here by the Apostle Paul. I want to read from verse 6 on down through a few verses here in the fourth chapter of Philippians. Paul writing as a prisoner to the congregation in Macedonia at Philippi who loved him so much, and a congregation that was made up of people who were outstanding in their Christian living. He begins in the first part of that sixth verse by offering in four words that might be a little confusing or complex. He said, be careful for nothing. The best way we can understand what Paul meant here, and I think this is generally understood by scholars, he's telling him not to be overly concerned about the things of the world. It's much like Jesus saying in the Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In other words, don't be so concerned about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, and what's going to be your pleasure. In other words, don't look upon those things as being a priority. I realize people have to be concerned about their clothing, and we ought to dress decently. We ought to be neat in our appearance. I'm sure this is the case. I'm not telling you how to dress, but I'm simply telling you some guidelines that the Bible brings out. But we're not to place emphasis upon the things that we can handle with our hands, that affect our senses, so to speak, but we are to place an emphasis upon, well, something greater than that. So he says, be careful for nothing. Don't be over anxious about things of the world, but in everything. And I want to underscore this idea. If you're taking notes with your Bible, why not underscore the two words, everything? Notice, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now that's praying to God. That's praying to your Heavenly Father. And that prayer is going to be offered in the name of Jesus Christ, for he is the mediator. But notice again what Paul has said in Philippians 4 and 6. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, I'm glad that we have the word supplication in verse 6 because there is probably a difference between supplication and intercession. Now they're both prayer. But supplication seems to be when you offer a prayer on behalf of yourself. And we all need to pray for other people, and we need to pray for ourselves that God will help us, that he will help us in applying the teaching that we have properly. Now, we're not asked to pray for knowledge, but we are asked to pray for wisdom. In James, the first chapter, James very definitely said there that we were to pray for wisdom. But you see, knowledge we gain from God's Word, and of course the Lord wants us to turn that knowledge into wisdom, correctly applying it. The word intercession is on behalf of others, and we should pray for others. But in this verse, it seems that he's just coming right down to the individual, and he's saying, now you, don't be over anxious about the things that are in the world, you Philippians. I'm talking to you personally, but everything you do, do it by prayer or in connection with prayer. And I want to say that here is probably one of the places where so many of us as Christians must undoubtedly fall short of the mark. You know, I talk to people sometimes, and they kind of look at me like I'm way out in left field someplace when I say, well, there shouldn't be any endeavor that you engage in as a person or a family that you shouldn't pray about. Well, one man said, you mean when I'm going to go to work? And I said, well, why not? That's part of your life. When I'm going to make a decision, investment, yes, that's part of your life. You know, if people would take God into their confidence, and that's what the last part of this verse means when it says, let your requests be made known unto God. That simply means to take God into your confidence. You know, a lot of times people would be more concerned about how they spend their money. They'd be more concerned about the pleasure that they engage in if they'd talk this matter over with God. Now, that may seem old hat in some circles, but I want to tell you, friends, it's in this Bible.
And everything that we do as an individual in a family ought to be considered prayerfully. Now, I'm not going to tell you what you have to put in that prayer as a Christian, but I am trying to tell you in your willing worship of Almighty God in your daily Christian living, the Bible instructs that everything that we do is to be considered prayerfully. You know, I find this, and I'm not putting myself up as an example, but I find this to be a refreshment for the soul, to realize that there's never a decision that I'm going to be called upon to make that I really have to make by myself. Well, someone says, do you always get the answer? Well, listen to the next verse, verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, so I can't talk about it, I can't fully explain it because it passes human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me give you an illustration. On the broadcast last week when we were talking about giving, it simply said in the 2 Corinthians epistle that he that gives or sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And I am convinced, and I know brethren are, that if we really give to the Lord with a desire that we want to and we try to go the second mile in doing it, I'm sure that he'll bless us. Now, the Lord hasn't promised that he'll make us a millionaire, but you know he's promised more than that. Because heaven is something that goes far beyond all the millions and all the wealth that mortal men could have. Well, you see, you could talk for a long time on prayer. But keep this in mind here in the fourth chapter of Philippians. If you have questions, send them in. You'll find prayer is a part of the public worship of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast. Tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast and be with us next time as we continue on with a willing worship.